President Trump told reporters that China should launch an investigation into the Bidens. He then corrected himself by saying, I meant China should launch an illegal investigation into the Bidens.
Clarification.
It's very important.
A group of Trump supporters ambushed Elizabeth Warren in an airport, calling her Pocahontas. To be fair, Trump supporters call anyone Pocahontas who isn't married to their own cousin.
And finally, twin births in the United States are declining. Ever since Hugh Hefner died, nature seems to have lost its enthusiasm for twins. The Trump Report starts now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Trump Report here with an all-star panel. I'm Christian Blatt. Tamara Brown.
That sounded sarcastic.
Just everything I say sounds sarcastic.
Hello.
It is an all-star panel. Mm-hmm. It has Tamara Brown and Scott Moore.
I say that sincerely. This is an all-star panel.
I am saying it very sincerely. I am, obviously, if I was on a panel by myself, it would be all-star. Mm-hmm. But I've added two stars to it. If Chelsea were here, it would be a four-star panel. Ooh. We don't have that today. Occasionally, we've had a five-star panel, but it's been a while. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. Maybe, just maybe, next Tuesday, which we'll talk about a little later. But Scott Moore, back.
I'm back.
From the front lines in Florida.
Yes.
Are you, is it a voting machine shopping season down there yet?
It's getting there, yes. So, you know.
Is the butterfly ballot back in season? Are we going to get that in 2020?
I hope not.
Everybody wants a butterfly ballot. Come on. All right.
It worked so well the first time around.
Yeah. Well, it depends on who your point of view is. For some people, it worked out really well. So how do we feel about the Kurds, Tamara?
Oh, the Kurds. Well, c'est la vie.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, we used to care about them, I thought. But I don't know. There have been so many things over the last few years where you wonder, like, oh, well, maybe this will be the time that Republicans stand up to President Trump. And I'm not saying that they all have problems with him, but those who do have...
Pat Robertson
sure did.
Does not think we should withdraw from Syria.
Well, and he thinks that puts... What was the quote? It jeopardizes President Trump's mandate from heaven?
Yes.
I think.
Something along those lines,
We all knew that he had a mandate from heaven,
right.
Obviously.
Yes, from that huge election that he won.
Well, if you go by the Electoral College,
I mean that was a landslide. Absolutely. You know,
my Jesus was elected from the Electoral College. Yeah, I didn't mean that.
All
but
right. We're just
really,
we're
he really was
we're spiraling.
Yeah. No, it's fine. So I didn't expect the pull out of Syria and the basically President Trump saying screw you Kurds. I didn't think that was going to be the thing where even Mitch McConnell was like, well, yeah, that's a terrible idea. You know, I'm just surprised
Mitch McConnell.
I didn't even know I was going to do it until I opened my mouth. So maybe that's what it was. I didn't think too much about it. But Scott, are you surprised that this is the thing that did it? I'm not even saying that any of them are wrong. I would be inclined to agree with Mitch McConnell on this issue.
Yeah, it was interesting because a lot of people on the – you know, Twitterverse, so we're talking about that too, social media, that basically, you know, at first on yesterday morning, it was like, okay, well, you know, now this is the one thing. It wasn't the kids in cages. It wasn't the lying, the corruption, and all the other things that happened to be this. But then as we moved along today, it's sort of already kind of fallen by the wayside by most Republicans, again, to be replaced by impeachment type of thing. But I think it was just the way that it was done. Even Donald Trump has a quote. Of course, you know, he doesn't live in reality, but he had an actual quote where he spoke and said that we don't want to leave the Kurds behind and it's not, you know, in the best interest of everybody. And then sure enough, he's doing this on a Sunday night. I guess Sunday nights become the new Friday night for dropping the horrible news because it was at a time where people weren't expecting that.
It means, you know, Chuck Todd's going to have to wait a whole week to talk about it. So maybe that's why Sunday night is the new Friday.
Right.
Tamara, President Trump said before making the decision that he, quote, consulted with everybody. I think that even if that's true, just consulting with everybody doesn't mean you're going to listen to any of them.
He consulted with Don Jr. Yep. He consulted with Ivanka.
Do you think he asks Barron? You know, and I know we're not supposed to talk about his kid, but you know, just in general, do you think he asked him, what do you think about this?
That would be ridiculous, all right. Christian.
I mean, I would probably trust his opinion better than Jared Kushner's, but what do I know? Also, by the way, and again, we're not disparaging Barron at all. Have you seen how tall he is? In three years, he's like a full head taller than Trump. So good for him. So that means, you know what? That means he could...
Poor kid. That's going to cause him some turmoil in the family.
Especially if it's like Bill Gates and he's going to cut his kids out of his
world. I don't even think he asked... who's the other one? Not Don Jr., but the other...
Eric.
He didn't consult Eric.
I had a deer in headlight moment where I'm like, I think he consults.
Did he consult Tiffany?
Don Jr. and Ivanka, and that's it.
I don't think he asks Eric much. We've talked about Tiffany. She's Marla Maples' daughter, so it kind of doesn't count. Like Barron counts because it's the current wife. Really, it's just the original recipe of the Trump offspring. So, it's not surprising that so many people are being outspoken about this, but
it's horrible. That's why.
But I'm surprised that this is really the first time where you're noticing like, oh, wait, not everybody's in line with this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always talk, Scott, about the impeachment clock. And while it is not a majority, it's one poll, but I saw a poll that now 49% of Americans feel that I don't even know that they're saying to impeach him, but they're saying like, let's do the impeachment here.
No, I mean, it's up to 43% to have him removed from office.
So even that's like,
so that's gone way up. And I mean, we can get into it more detail in a moment, but it's interesting the type of game they're betting on now, Trump and the administration. And thinking that
the game that has worked so far for 3 years, which is say whatever you want and don't let anything like the facts get in the way, which that's kind of a bipartisan approach at times.
Right, but they take it to a whole other level, and the stonewalling and the completely ignoring subpoenas and things that I know other presidents have done in the past administrations, namely Nixon. The issue with that is it's going to eventually come back and bite them. Either they're hoping that if they can stonewall long enough, that they're hoping that if he does get impeached, they can just be like, look, it's a political move by the Democrats. We've done nothing wrong. And they're hoping that if they don't get the facts out, any of the stuff out there, that now it looks more like a partisan fight is what I'm guessing they're thinking. So that when he is impeached, because now he's made it more likely he's going to be impeached by avoiding actually, agreeing to these subpoenas and everything. But I'm guessing their thought process is, well, if they have no proof or anything out there, they're going to say it was all a political move anyways. And I'm guessing that's what their whole talking points are going to be. But I think it's a really bad move on them, because the more that they do this, the more, again, that the American people are up from being like, we're kind of done with this ridiculousness. So, I mean, they're doing it at their own warning here, knowing that they know that they're going to be set up to maybe having a few more Republican senators jumping and to potentially vote yes to have him removed from office.
Meanwhile, and I don't know if we're going to talk about this down the line yet, but does it seem like it's more likely that his tax returns are going to – he's going to have to turn over his tax returns soon?
Yeah, because it's
– he's got to be sweating, buckets of KFC right now. Like he's really under pressure right now.
Let us know in the chat, what does it smell like when Donald Trump sweats?
Formaldehyde mixed with chicken.
I would say KFC. So I would say it's a mixture of 11 herbs and spices and NutraSweet. At least I
11
think
11 herbs and spices, right, including Old Spice.
Yeah, well, that's the most important one. Tamara, let me know what you think about this theory. Mitch McConnell coming out in favor of the Kurds.
Mitch McConnell coming out?
Yes. You didn't see that headline? Oh.
He's going to say he was never married to Elaine after all this when she gets indicted for whatever.
Oh, yeah. Money. The way that he'd be happy to throw her under the bus if he felt like it would get him three more votes. My question is, do you think that there's some Kurdish population in Kentucky that we just didn't know about, so he's actually courting those voters? Because that's what makes the most sense to me.
I think what makes the most sense is that Trump is being pressured from Putin now that everything else is the inquiry and the tax returns and all of this stuff is going on that could potentially prevent him from having a second term, if anything at all. So Putin's like, hey, man, now's the time to scratch my back.
Mm-hmm. But perhaps you've both heard, I've heard President Trump say many times, there was no collusion. So I don't quite know what angle you're talking about, why Putin comes into this. I've heard many times that there's been no collusion.
I am talking my crazy conspiracy theories that President Trump is just a puppet for Vladimir Putin. Call me nuts. That's fine. I'll take the fall.
So that's on you. That's your crazy this out there
is,
theory.
The AfterBuzz TV is at the the opinions of the hosts and the opinions of the hosts only.
Correct.
Right, that's right. Because you never know who here feels like, you know. Look, if Putin wants to come on, I'd be happy to talk to him. He doesn't even have to put a shirt on, you know.
It was his birthday yesterday, wasn't it?
What'd you get him? Well, what do you get? What do you get for the guy who's killed everyone?
He has everything.
I think he got what he wanted.
You think?
Yeah, Sunday night was his birthday gift. I guess it was early. From Donald Trump.
This was President Trump's present to Vladimir Putin.
So, also, President Trump has said that Turkish strongman Erdogan, I'm just going to go with his last name, he expects him to come to the White House next month. Now, you know, he's said that about, let's see, who has he said that he would invite? He said, of course, Kim Jong-un. He said he'd love to have Putin come to the White House. I think that the only people he doesn't want in the White House are the women's soccer team. I think he said that, that they weren't welcome. They, of course, said they didn't want to go, and that's why he said that. But still. Do you think – how likely is it that he's going to invite them all on the same day? Erdogan will be there. Putin will be there. Kim Jong-un will be there. And it could be like a special episode of the Super Friends when like the whole Legion of Doom comes together. You've got Lex Luthor and the Joker. And you've got everybody. They're all together. And Trump's like, yeah, this is great. I'm gonna let you guys just run things for a little while.
Well, I don't know if Kim Jong-un's going to be coming right now because he had a whole statement the other day and all the talks
just
fell through.
He's just acting out. He's fine.
I don't know if they'll be on good terms by that point.
Look, anybody who has a toddler knows what a tantrum looks like. And, you know, he has
right, we have a president who's won, so it's quite – we see it every day. We've gotten to know it pretty well.
Well, Tamara, what do you think about President Trump saying that Turkey is, quote, good to deal with? Do you think that there are a lot of indications that Turkey's been good to deal with?
Good to deal with. That will endear him to a large population of Los Angeles.
Well, now you're talking. See, that's what I was going for with the Kurds. But I don't think that the city of Los Angeles is going to vote for President Trump.
That's what I'm saying. It's not. He's not considering us anyway. But. What was the question?
the Turkey's good to deal with.
Is Turkey good to deal with? You know what? If he says so, then sure.
Well, the evidence, Jake Tapper from CNN has tweeted out over the weekend some old tweets from both the president and Ivanka. Times that I believe it was 2012. They were both in Turkey talking about what a great country it was and celebrating the opening of a Trump property of some kind.
Exactly.
So I think they actually have been great to work with.
That's what I'm going
to
say.
Not when you're the president, you know, but it's been fantastic to work with.
Yeah, they're good to deal with when it comes to cutting red tape, to building your properties and, you know.
Skirting
codes. Yeah, absolutely.
So, wait, what's the verdict? Are we feeling good about Turkey? I think I got lost in the conversation. We're not feeling good about Turkey, right? I almost got convinced that they were good to deal with. But,
well, for hotel properties. So if you want
to,
you know.
I'm not trying to open a hotel there. So well, I guess I would say probably not.
All right. So that's it's neither Boardwalk nor Park Place if you go to Ankara, I think, right? That's the capital of Turkey. Mm-hmm. Somebody correct me. That's all right. It's a bipartisan issue, this pullout of Syria. And we talked about Pat Robertson, obviously not partisan, but usually an apologist for President Trump. And I think people are willing to apologize for a lot of things that they even disagree with. We go back to Pat Robertson for a moment. He talked about just how immoral Bill Clinton was. And, you know, President Trump's been married 3 times, but he, of course, has a mandate of heaven. And both two flawed men, but I'm just saying, like, you know, they pick and choose their battles. This is the one. And I don't think it's going to change anything. And, you know, a lot of the media coverage has unfortunately shown you a lot of the atrocities in Syria, which President Trump seems to have the viewpoint that it's 7,000 miles away, which I think he might actually be right about that part. And that, you know, it's not our place to get involved. And there are the
Trump has no problems with atrocities that are happening just a few miles away from us at our southern border. He has no problem with those atrocities. So I don't think it's a matter of
distance
from atrocities.
No, that's a great point.
Right. Well, and the problem is that we already were involved. And if we're not involved, unfortunately, I hate always saying that we have to be the world's police and standard, because, you know, there are different players involved, but it's exactly playing into the hands of Russia and Syria and everything else when you create a vacuum there and you allow these other countries to come in and influence in a neighborhood that is prone to having a lot of issues. And if we don't have some kind of presence there, we allow for things to potentially escalate and get out of control. And the fact of the matter is we already did get ourselves involved in things over there and continue to be after years. And so it's a dangerous move. And again, it's kind of changing the whole dynamic. It's going against any of our allies and allowing the strong men and dictators and other world players to take a lead. And yes, I get it. He's trying to make it seem like, oh, I'm saving troops from going there and fighting other people's battles, and I'm trying to get people out of the wars and stuff. But you have to do it in a way that makes sense. But on the flip side, he's okay with going in and threatening Iran. And he doesn't do anything about Saudi Arabia. You know, so it's like, again, you're going back to like picking and choosing. You can escalate issues with Iran, but then you're going to let the Syria war go on. And I can just imagine if it was Barack Obama who was doing this when they made the big deal about the red line, and then the red line was crossed, and then, you know, basically saying that, you know, he's not doing anything or he's avoiding sending troops down there, how much of an issue Republicans would be raising over that at this very moment.
I would say just as surprising as Mitch McConnell is the fact that Lindsey Graham somehow has felt comfortable in criticizing the president, which is not something that
he did.
He sure did.
He did, yes.
He said it was short-sighted and irresponsible. So I think that that's probably his quotient of criticizing President Trump for this year, though. So I think he'll probably be quiet for a while. But, you know, Trump doesn't care. He doesn't see anybody as his friends. Anybody says anything nice about him once in a while, he's like, oh, okay, great. This is a great person.
And that's the thing, I don't understand why people continuously, and I get it, but people feel that they have to continue to kiss his ass. And I see, like, you know, if they turn against him, then he acts like a child and berates them on Twitter, like he did with Mitt Romney and everything. But then it passes and he moves on to a new shiny object. But the fact that everyone feels that they have to, you know, continue to kiss up to him is ridiculous, because you can see he's not loyal to anyone but himself, and that's the sad thing, and yet people continuously feel they have a need to kiss up to him.
We gave some credit to Mitch McConnell a couple minutes ago, but let's talk about, there is a viral ad that he's running where he's making sure everyone knows that he will not let an impeachment hearing, whatever the results, he would not let it go through the House. Through the Senate. No matter what the House does, he's going to stop it, because, I mean, that's his job. As far as he's concerned, his job is to make sure that nothing actually passes his desk and gets voted on.
Yeah, he doesn't actually do work.
Right. Which, you know, maybe that's appealing to some segment of America. I don't know.
Well, at some point he has to, by law, essentially, at least, my concern is that he'll just do it. But he'll have to if it's voted on and Trump is impeached in the House, and that has to go to the Senate, and they have to pick it up. Now, is much of a trial that they're going to do? Is it going
to
be a
so
sham?
So they would have to actually do – that was my question. They actually have to do something.
They do have to do something. Now, how in-depth it gets, it could be a sham, and they could just shuffle some papers, and then they could all vote. But they have to, as part of the process, move through in the Senate. And again, he can do as little as he possibly can.
Which he's shown that's very
exactly.
Little.
So yeah. I think that's Trump's hope, is the fact that if they can stonewall everything and they can't get any of these papers or the facts to come out or have anybody, you know, being interviewed, and the Democrats vote to impeach him, then he can just turn it into a political partisan thing and rile up his base. And he can say, look, they just impeached me because I was not, you know, doing paperwork and giving them answers for things they wanted, which was a complete, you know, sham and wasn't a real thing anyways. It was just a partisan witch hunt kind of thing. And I think that's what he's hoping on. And then the Senate can do very little to actually show anything going on with the trial, not really bring up any of the issues, and then hope that they vote against it, obviously, because you need 20 more Republicans to cross over to vote to have him removed from office. So I'm thinking that's what they're betting on. And then that way he can play the martyr and rile up his base, and then hopefully he can squeak out another election victory, because he has very little room for error, as we saw in 2016 by the fact that he won by the thinnest of margins, and any kind of shift in a couple of those states pretty much ends his hope for a re-election.
Can
this
I
point.
Ask a naive young person question?
Hey, there's a young person speaking. Let's all sit and listen to Ryan from the booth. I yield my time to the distinguished gentleman from Delaware.
Thank you, sir. I am just curious. So were you saying there's no way for him to, I guess, for the impeachment process to begin unless it goes through McConnell?
No. So you can impeach in the House,
right?
You can't remove him from office unless the Senate vote. And it's
67 votes.
Yes,
two-thirds.
And you can get a few to jump, but you don't have 67 votes in the Senate.
Not at this point.
Not right now.
Not at this
right
moment.
So it goes House, then Senate.
Yeah. Correct. Right, exactly. And that's why a lot of, you know, we've talked about on this show that when it was the reverse, where it was a Democratic Senate and a Republican House, the Republican House would vote to overturn Obama seemingly every week. Obamacare.
Yes.
They would like to have voted to overturn Obama. They wanted to vote. They voted to overturn Obamacare, I don't know, like eight times.
And like Senate, 50-something times.
Right. Eight times in an afternoon.
Right.
And the Senate was just like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it works both ways in that sense. But, yeah, this is an issue that the Senate would have to take up.
Yes, the Senate would have to take it up. But like we were saying, as much of how detailed they go into actually doing a real trial and bringing out the evidence and having people come speak and, you know, producing documents and thing called facts remains to be seen, because like we're saying, I think Mitch McConnell will do as little as possible so that it can be played up more as a political witch hunt, and Democrats were the ones that are, you know, trying to take him down and overturn an election. That's their new talking point, is overturning an election. So that's what they're going to try to go with now, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, the amount of people that want to see the impeachment inquiry has gone way up over the past couple of weeks, and the amount of
people, number has gone up a lot. And yeah, we like to put this in the historical context, which the obvious comparison is Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far out, there's still the majority of the American people still was against impeaching Richard Nixon.
Right.
However, as it got a little closer and a little bit more, you know, it did actually flip eventually. But I think I was reading that it was like maybe a month out. It was still not even half the country.
And again, you know, Donald Trump plays this whole thing about like, oh, you know, and he'll do this map of all this red area. I'm like, oh, can you imagine impeaching this? But you tend to forget that in 1972, Richard Nixon won 49 states, something Donald Trump could only wish he could win. He won by one of the biggest landslides in American history. And then a little over less than 2 years later, he's out of office. So it does, that means nothing either.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's also, you know, you can draw the parallel to like, why did Nixon feel like he needed to investigate and, you know, get information on George McGovern, who had no chance to win? It's like, you're looking for dirt on Joe Biden. Joe Biden's just going to give you dirt. You don't have to actually dig it up. You know, he can't even keep his teeth in his mouth on television.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, I mean, it's all part of Nixon paranoia, and that's a whole other topic.
No, but I mean, exactly.
Why would you even go when you're on your way to a landslide?
I just can't wait for the movie where Anthony Hopkins plays Trump, because you know it's going to be, I think, a lot of the same. Were you going to say something, Tamara? I feel like we weren't.
No, I don't remember at this point. I do. I was going to say, like we talked about last time, was that like there have been anonymous aides say, I mentioned this, that if Republican senators were allowed to vote anonymously, they would be in favor of impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about that there should be term limits. But I'm just pointing that out.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that, you know, and I think that, you know, two terms for president seems to make sense. And I think you can do a little bit longer in the Senate and the House, but not 20, 25 years.
Three terms for senator, 18 years, that's more
than
enough.
Plenty. And if you can't get it done in 18 years, you shouldn't have been there.
Right.
You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, the White House has
told... But then we'd have no Bernie.
Well,
we have...
we barely have Bernie right now, you know? I mean, he, we, you know, I don't know if that's why Chelsea's not here, if she's, you know, rushed his bedside to try and,
keeping Jane company, probably, you know.
Probably, sure Jane needs somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
You love Jane Sanders?
I love Jane Sanders.
Well, then Chelsea will show you the pictures of her and Jane Sanders. And
maybe, she'll text her for you.
I believe there's a text chain
Yes, I think there is.
Just with Jane, though. Yes. Not with Bernie. But, obviously, look, as we look ahead to 2020 and the Democrats, the advanced age seems to be the issue that you talk about for Joe Biden, and Bernie always seemed to be much younger than Biden, even though he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then you hear that he has a heart attack. So it's like, do you think that's going to make a lot of difference? I know he was polling third. Do you feel like there are people who are going to be a little bit less likely to support Bernie? I'll ask you first, Tamara.
I don't think so. But then again, I guess there are the people that, what was it, when Hillary coughed or something like that? That made such a big deal.
We talked about that on this show.
The cough rolled around the world.
Things like that. Like,
it was a bad cough, by the way.
It's so silly that should mean anything.
No, but a heart attack's not a cough.
No, but a heart attack is a big deal. But I everybody knows how old Bernie is. And I don't think...
Except Bernie. He doesn't seem to know how old he is.
A meme that was Nelson Mandela saying... Remember, when I took office, I was 2 years older than Bernie Sanders is now. I don't know.
It's not quite the same. Bernie didn't spend all that time in jail.
Right.
So,
well, still, 2 years older, it's... Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't know where to go from that. But what do you think, Scott, about is Bernie's health kind of the defining issue right now?
I mean, I'm sorry, but, it's just hilarious to be, there are people that are older than him, just a reminder.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter's out there.
Hey, Jimmy Carter could run for president again. He's only done one term.
He can have another term. And before he fell down, and it's not because he fell down, but when you see him on TV bruised, you're like, oh, no, don't. Yeah. No, Jimmy, don't run again. But, he could do a term.
He could do a term.
At 90, I think he's 96. 95. Yeah. All right.
Just turned 95 last year.
All right, so he'd be 96 when he won.
Yes. Yes, he would be 96 when he won. You're right.
Can you imagine those debates with Trump and Jimmy Carter? Do you think Trump wouldn't even stand up? I think he would just be like, this is fine. Yeah. Whatever you want to say,
Bernie should choose Jimmy Carter as a running mate.
Oh, I love that idea.
That ticket would win.
That's a great idea. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's – look, obviously, when you're dealing with people in their 70s and 80s, it makes a difference, you know? I mean, it's – but – I don't know. I mean, it's not like Bernie was the front runner and this happened, you know? I mean, this already seems to not be 2008. You know, the Bernie flame isn't burning quite as brightly. I think that
2016.
2016, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. He didn't run in 2008. Yep. He got that memo in 2008 to stay out of that one. You know, that was Hillary's to win, but Obama didn't get that memo.
No.
Yeah. So they got the memo to Biden, you know. Actually, no, he ran in 2008, didn't he?
Yes,
yeah,
he
that's
did.
Right.
He's running 1988.
Every chance Christian has to throw some shade at Hillary.
Hey, yeah. I wasn't mentioning, you know, President Trump said that Hillary should actually run.
Well,
and she said... You know, that's not a bad idea. That's what I've been saying.
We talked about this from the beginning, and I said the same thing.
I've been saying this ever since she said she wasn't going to run. I'm like, well, she's going to run.
No,
obviously, she's going to run.
She's not going to run.
Although there was talk about it before, and that's why he brought it up, because there was this, you know, now there was this chatter that she might decide to jump in and run, especially.
She wouldn't really jump in, would she?
After seeing Biden,
stroll on
the same tweet, she said, "Do your job."
I know. No, that was later, but I mean, this was a couple days ago where there was some chatter that she was considering jumping in, especially after seeing Biden starting to drop in the polls, and she thought this is a good time for me to come in. And now with Sanders'
heart
attack,
I'm just saying that's what I've been saying all along.
I said that
not running.
I said that on this show too. I would never say never, because you never know, especially with her, who's had this drive since she was a little kid.
Look, I wouldn't rule her out for running in 2024.
I wouldn't either.
You know?
I mean, she'll
I think that's
going.
More likely than running this time, actually.
I would not put it past her, but
I maybe think... her running mate will be Jimmy Carter.
Yes, in 2024, he's 100.
Yeah. What better way to celebrate?
He'll just be a cryogenic head at that point.
Oh, my God. He could run with Ted Williams. So I guess we're not concerned about Bernie. He's not campaigning right now. He's still taking a break.
Right. I think it... It does bring up, and I don't want to be ageist, but it does bring up those issues, like we've talked about in the past, thinking about, okay, a first-term president, if he was to win, would be well into his 80s. And it does bring that up when you do think about the type of stamina that you need as a president to be able to go. And it goes back to even Donald Trump, too, but he doesn't do any real work, so that's why he hasn't aged. But in the most part...
When you consider how much time he spends on Twitter, he's clearly a social media influencer. Yes, that is definitely his job.
Yes.
He tweets more than I think all the Kardashians put together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone in that sphere who is technically... nobody tweets as much as he did on Sunday morning. You know?
Sorry, 100%, what were you gonna say? No, but I'm saying... But it does bring up having this heart attack does bring that back to the forefront. Is someone healthy enough to really take on a presidency when they're in their late 70s, knowing that they're going to, 80s, approaching 80 years old for a first term? It's one thing, you had Dwight Eisenhower who had multiple heart attacks and, back in those days, they didn't really bring it up as much, but he had multiple heart attacks before he was president, when he was president, and died 8 years after leaving the White House. And at the time, he was the oldest president ever elected and left at just under 70 years old, but those are just over 70, but that did bring up attention even then. And then you had Ronald Reagan, same thing, where he was then became the oldest elected president. Now Donald Trump is the oldest elected president, and it does bring up not just the age, but how's your cognitive health. And again, Donald Trump hasn't had any good cognitive health for years, but comparing president's decline, you see Ronald Reagan, how he declined through the years and ended up having Alzheimer's and passing away from it, but you do see that cognitive decline with older people.
Yeah, and I did have to look it up because I wanted to get it right. Reagan was 69 when he was elected. That sounds like a child now,
right?
When you're compared
that's
to
what I'm saying,
Trump,
right?
And also, yeah. And look, you're talking about it being ageist, and I think it's ageist if you're like, well, I'm not going to hire him for data entry, Walmart greeter,
right?
Kiosk manager at like a fast food restaurant because they don't actually take your order anymore. But to be president, you look how much it aged George W. Bush, Barack Obama. I mean, Trump looked like this when he was but those two in particular,
right?
Clinton,
even Bill Clinton, he had gray hair and that was basically white when he left. But but again, you do see that, and there is cognitive decline the older you get, and that's just a fact of life. And so, yes, you don't want to be ageist, but at the point, I think this does bring that up and saying, is he capable of being able to be president at the advanced age he is, or is it better suited for him to be in the Senate or doing other things that...
Are we not being fair, Tamara, by saying that people in their 80s might be too old to be president?
No, that's fine. I'm just imagining what if Bernie, if he ages while in the office, what could he possibly look like when he gets out of there? Like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially to clean up the mess from the Trump White House. I mean, that's enough to age
anybody. I don't know. I guess I could see how somebody... But, I mean, it's like I'm aware that Bernie's old,
Yeah.
I'm aware that a heart attack is a possibility with anybody at that age. So with Biden, with any of them, it's just not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, even the younger candidates, I'm not going to isolate anyone saying that they could have a heart attack, but any of them, there's going to be 12 people on the stage next week.
Absolutely.
Most of them, I'd say Mayor Pete, probably not likely, but the rest of them.
I mean, it's good too. I mean,
he's not even 40, but it's true.
No,
it could happen.
You absolutely could.
Yeah. But you look around the stage, you're like, yeah, I think a lot of these people are advanced in age.
I mean, I'm old enough, I'm on cholesterol medication already, so you never know. I mean, if it runs in your family and things like that, it's definitely something that people, like you said, it could happen to anybody.
Well, let's bring it back to the impeachment. The White House has officially told Nancy Pelosi that Trump nor his staff will be participating in the impeachment inquiry. And this is always that question I have, is like, at some point you can subpoena people. And when you get back to Watergate, it was like, if you don't show up, I said this last week, the police can show up and like arrest you. But I guess there's a lot of appeals. That process is long and drawn out. But just because you're not going to cooperate doesn't mean that. So the impeachment's off. Trump says he's not coming. You know, I mean, I think that that must be the way that he sees it. Do you feel like it's that cut and dried, Scott?
No, like I said earlier, I think his whole talking points and what they're hoping is that they can stonewall long enough, and it takes a while to go through the appeal process, that if the Democratic House goes ahead to impeach him, they're going to do it on an obstruction, and it's going to be more vague, and then he'll be able to say, oh, look, I never turned in any documents because this was a witch hunt, and now they've just completely impeached me for political, partisan purposes. And if the facts really don't get out and these people don't get to go up and be, you know, subpoenaed and answer questions on you know, on the Hill, then it's going to look more partisan. So I think that's what they're hoping would happen, because what they're actually doing is speeding up the likelihood of him being impeached. But I think that's their hope, is that if he is impeached for this, then they'll be able to have a better chance to salvage his presidency by being able not to get the facts out and not having people interview. But I believe that even the Supreme Court would have a very hard time allowing that to be gotten away with. And that's sort of what happened during Nixon's presidency. He avoided subpoenas as well, and Bill Clinton did as well. And, you know, it comes with part of the course. But the Constitution clearly states that they're co-equal branches of government, and they do have a right to oversight. And I can't even imagine that the Supreme Court, especially if they really are truly conservative, are going to go against the founding fathers and the Constitution and the co-equal branches of government and say, no, you can do whatever you want, because he's not above it. The executive branch is not above Congress. So I'm guessing they're just hoping that he'll be impeached, but without the facts. It'll just be obstruction. So they will be able to just play it up to their partisan base. Oh,
so you don't even have to actually prove your case if it's
– Right. They can just vote and say – no, because impeachment – yeah, they can impeach. It doesn't have to be a crime. They can just all vote and say, hey, we're impeaching him now for obstruction of justice, for not, you know, obeying the subpoenas.
Well, Tamara, your gut reaction. So today is October 8th. So October 8th, 2020 – is Donald Trump still president?
Ooh. That's a hard one.
I've got a quick follow-up.
That's a tough one.
October 8th, 2021, is Donald Trump still president? I'm going to be the killjoy and say yes to both, by the way. That's just what my role is on this show.
I feel I maybe 2 months ago I would have said 100% yes.
Yeah.
But as the impeachment inquiry is gaining support, and I do believe that the tax returns, he's going to be forced to turn over his tax returns, and the Syria thing, I don't know, everything is the Syria thing, it's minimized.
So we've got the Syria thing, it's a witch hunt. Yeah, no, but I know what you mean. It's
with everything ramping up, it's just sort of like, I don't know, it does seem like he's got a little bit more, you know, also with less interference in this election. I think maybe there's a 15% chance that he might not get reelected.
Right, oh, but, that's it?
Right. Well, oh, no, but yeah. I think that's a little bit more realistic.
More than I was thinking before.
15% or did you 15, do 50?
15% that he won't be reelected.
Because before I was thinking there's no way he's not going to be reelected. Now I'm thinking there might be a little bit of a chance that he's not going to be reelected.
I mean, that's a tough one. I was going to joke and say, well, do you think he's going to be president on October 8th of 2030, you know, because he keeps saying he's possibly going for a third term and a fourth term. And,
look, don't forget, he has said many times he's America's favorite president.
Right, and he's just going to stay in office. Yeah.
That's a question for – we do a whole show on that. We could. And by the way, if he's voted out, do you think he's really going to leave at noon on January 20th?
Exactly.
He's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. I'm just staying here.
Yeah. Anyway, but finish your thought before
I look, I kind of agree with Tamara that I think there's a lot of things that are going to happen over the next several months, that the likelihood of him actually completing his term, which I've said all along – I've said this going back to when he was elected in 2017, would he actually finish his term? And I still don't think he will, especially – if there's a lot of things going on, and let's say he thinks he's going to lose, he will not allow himself to lose by American voters. He will not allow himself to lose, and if he knows that he could lose, and it's likely, and that he could be up for crimes and everything, he would rather resign and allow Mike Pence to either, you know, give him immunity and pardon him, and then walk away and say, look, I walked away, you know, then claiming a loss by the American voter. Do I think he'll be impeached and removed from office? I think right now that would be like a low single digits. Do I think he'll be reelected? You know, again, if the economy dips at all, and we keep seeing the economy kind of gyrating a lot lately, then that's it. That's the last hope he had to even hope that he could win. And if the economy falls, that's all he has, and he's definitely done. And it just, again, depends who the Democrat nominee is. But, yeah, I don't think it's looking as good for him.
What percentage likelihood do you think he's going to be reelected?
I think it's...
Because you've got it. The quick math is, Tamara says 85% chance.
He's going to be reelected.
You think it's lower than 85%?
I think it's much lower because he won by 46% or so. So he,
I'm just reelected, my personal opinion.
But I'm just saying, like, incumbents usually have the upper hand, but he's just so despised. And a lot of those states in the upper Midwest that gave him the victory all turned blue. And I think if Arizona flips as well, or any other states there, he's totally done. So it won't take a lot for him.
I think that, you know, when we touched on it and we did tie it into to Watergate, it's where's the public opinion go in the next few months? You know, is it stay kind of around where it is right now, where it's like, yeah, a little bit around half of the people not actually, you know, 51% aren't looking for it. I think it's hard to imagine, you know, him not running. But what I've said for a long time, that if he's not president anymore, it would be because he resigned.
Right. Well, that's
I think is the most, like, because he'll see the writing on the wall.
Right.
And it's somebody he trusts. Won't
lose.
So like Jared will tell him, like, yeah, you're gonna get electoral votes.
Yeah.
You're gonna get Mondale votes. You know.
So you should walk away. Then you can blame Pence even after he gives you the, you know, the pardon and say, look, I would have won.
He's gonna wait for the ink to dry on Pence's pardon.
Right.
And then he's going to make a living trashing Pence.
Exactly.
Probably on Trump TV, the network that everybody thought he was going to start in 2016.
Right.
Anyway.
But look, the difference was Nixon and Clinton were both in their second terms and they couldn't run again. But Trump could. And theoretically, Republicans could remove him from office and still allow him to run on the ballot in 2020. So then the American voters could say, okay, well, let's punish him or not. So theoretically, they could remove him from office, and then they could allow him to be back on the ballot next year because it is only the first term. So
there's
a lot of crazy stuff that could
happen.
Give
him any kind of indication that he should run as a third party or an independent. I mean, he'll do that.
Right, exactly.
You know, he could get removed from office. And he's like, well, I'm still running.
Right. No,
he could get back in. Yeah,
they could, because that's a separate part of the impeachment. They could remove him from office, but then they also have to say, okay, you're not allowed. You're barred from running for office.
Sorry, you didn't say no take-backsies. Right. We are out of time. There was so much more to talk about, but that's all right. We had more fun than we would have talking about that stuff. We'll be back next Tuesday at a special time, possibly 8 Pacific. I'm now told it might be 9 Pacific, but it'll be after the debate. Some or all of us will be there, but you can tune in. We'll talk about all 12 of those candidates. That's next Tuesday at 8 or 9 p.m. Pacific, but it'll be after the debate, so you can find us then. Until then, Tamara, where can people find you?
Hey, if anybody's in Las Vegas, I will be performing this Friday, October 11th, at The Space in Las Vegas. So come out to that live stand-up show.
Woohoo! Wait, you've got a gig in space?
In Las Vegas, Christian.
Oh,
pay attention.
I thought you were part of Space Force.
She's taking her private jet.
Yes, I'm performing in space. Yes.
That's going to be awesome. You should film it for a special. Scott, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SMAN80. That's SMAN80.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. Don't forget to follow the show at Trump Report ABTV. We will see you all next Tuesday at a special time after the debate.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.